you'll see that America is still the land of the free.
Welcome to the Voice of Freedom, your national beacon of liberty. Now, here's your Voice of Freedom, Brent Johnson.
Among his colleagues in Congress, he is known as Dr. No, because he frequently votes no on bills simply because they are not constitutionally sound. Among real Americans and freedom lovers, he is more often known as the Patriot Congressman. Ron Paul continues to work diligently on behalf of the rights and principles enshrined in the Declaration of Independence and protected by the Constitution for the United States. It's always a special pleasure and distinct honor for me to introduce a genuine public servant in the best spirit of the American Founding Fathers, the Patriot Congressman, Dr. Ron Paul. Welcome back to the Global Freedom Report.
Thank you very much. Nice to be with you.
Thank you, Ron. Ron, you've been in Congress for a lot of years, and during that time, I have never lived in your district. Nevertheless, and wherever I am located at any given moment, I want you to know I always think of you as my representative, and I know there are a lot of Americans who feel the same way.
Thank you very much.
Now, I'm going to ask you about both of these, but I'm curious, which do you think is the more significant issue? The ongoing economic depression or the upcoming midterm elections?
Well, you'd think they should be connected, and some are trying to connect them, but obviously the financial crisis coming up should be on their minds. That should be number one. But that is related to not only the finances, but also the crisis and our loss of liberty. But if it were proper, it should be the only thing they would be talking about in the election and trying to pick the candidates who understand the problems, as well as having a concise explanation of what happened and what we should be doing about it. But I don't know if there's a close enough connection to that. But I think we've made some progress, but we have a long way to go yet.
All right, let's start with the midterm elections. Now, most people see a significant Republican gain coming. What political consequences do you see emerging from the midterm elections, assuming a change of party leadership in at least one house? What do we have to look forward to these next 2 years?
Well, I think there'll be benefits, even though you won't see any major new laws passed or even, anything repealed. Because the president will be there and he will veto any changes. The question has come up about whether the Republicans will do better than they did in the past when they had a chance, and that's an important question. I think they will for two reasons. I think they've learned their lesson to some degree, at least. They're getting the message from the people that they don't trust either party and they're going to give the Republicans another chance, so maybe the Republicans will be a little firmer in following what they pretend that they believe in. But the other reason why the Republicans are going to do better is they still will be a party resisting those in charge, because the Democrats, if they're still in charge of the Senate and you have the president, the Republicans are more likely to stand firm. It's almost better than if we had a president like we did have as a Republican, because he was promoting big government. In the Congress, the House and the Senate, the Republicans just laid down and did what he whatever he wanted. But I think the best message that could come out of this is, if we do get control of the House, is they will stand firm, and at least it may slow this up and give us a breathing spell, and instead of having one law after another with finance reforms and bailout packages and socialized medicine and all this stuff coming at us, at least we might have the benefit of a little bit of gridlock, and people like to paint that as being very negative, but if they're doing all the wrong things, gridlock isn't necessarily bad.
Yeah, I think that we are best off when two different parties hold the White House and the Congress, or the two houses of Congress, for exactly that reason. But there's talk now, there are some stories emerging that suggest that Obama, if he's not going to have the support of Congress, he'll just do what he wants to do through executive order. We've seen this over the years, where the president just circumvents Congress regularly, obviously not the intent of the framers. is there anything we can do to head off something of that sort? Or do you think that that's what it's going to turn into, just 2 years of executive orders?
That's an ongoing problem, and it may accelerate rather than him, you know, sort of capitulating to a degree like Clinton did. I think Obama is much more capable of flaunting his power and writing executive orders and doing whatever he pleases and doing it through regulations. And he's been pretty blunt about that when he was trying to get some environmental laws passed. He said, I'll just do it by regulations, you know, executive order. But that should be looked at as an opportunity for the people, because more people are vigilant now. There's a lot of people watching, both Republicans and Democrats. There'll be a lot of new people who have been through the mill right now of this turmoil among the political people. And we should take this, if he starts doing this, is point it out, not only because he might be doing something improper, but the process is so bad. You know, whether it's a signing statement like President Bush did, or executive orders, or even the basic principle of writing regulations, hey, that's a law. And yet Congress here for 50, 60, 70 years has said, oh, you can write any regulation you want. Oh, yeah, we have the right to override it. As a matter of fact, they passed a law in 1994 or 95 saying that the Congress has a right to repeal regulations. Lo and behold, that was a minor attempt to address the point that they shouldn't even be writing these things. But since that time, I think they've overridden one regulation. But if the president starts to do this, we who are anywhere close to it should be shouting even louder than ever, and hopefully we will have continued support from the Tea Party movement, and they don't become complacent. Too often in the past, like in the year 2000, when the Republicans won the House and the Senate and the presidency, they said, it's great, you know, the revolution's here, they'll take care of us, and we'll have shrinkage of government. And that was a mistake for them to become so complacent.
Let's talk about Obamacare for a moment. You're a doctor, so you know more than many the potential damaging consequences of Obamacare. There's been a lot of talk during the election campaign, vote for me and we're going to repeal Obamacare. But I don't think most people understand how difficult it is, assuming both houses go Republican, assuming both houses vote to repeal, the president's going to veto it and you're not going to have a two-third override. So is there really any kind of a reasonable chance of at least repealing portions of Obamacare, or are we really going to have to just push it through the courts? Is that our only option?
Yeah, and even the courts won't guarantee a good outcome. I think, you know, this hope maybe he'd concede a little bit. I'm on a bill to repeal the whole thing, but like you, I'm skeptical that's not likely to happen. But I have one bill that just repeals the mandate. You know, as bad as things are, I've always said, you know, if we permit the people to opt out of a system, you know, we can survive. You know, that to me, like in education, that would be, as long as we have some who can still homeschool and private school, maybe we can have a little check on government education. And if we had that in medicine, the medical savings accounts tried to address that you could just get out of the system and be responsible for yourself. But Obamacare, you know, essentially cancels that out. And it's not going to be very easy. But I do think what's going to happen, though, before we tinker around and improve it, is I think the whole system will fail. You know, the government's going to be in dire needs for real funding, because the dollar is going to go bust and they won't be able to manage it. So somebody's have to just pick up pieces regardless of what the federal government is trying to do.
Well, I hope we can do something with Obamacare, that's for sure. I have some questions out of the chat room I want to run down with you. First off, from Stonewall, why has there been no official investigation into the crimes of 9/11 operation to date? If a gas station gets robbed, the police conduct an investigation and hunt down the perpetrators. No such required detective investigation has ever been initiated. Why has such not been done?
Well, people were quite satisfied that, you know, as long as you have a commission to study it, and we had the 9/11 commission to study, you know, the causes, and that was, you know, finished, and there was a report, and everybody figured, oh, I guess that was all taken care of. But these commissions, all these commissions that are set up to investigate government, they're just mainly set up to cover up all the mistakes that have been done, so you never get to the bottom of it. So it's not likely to happen. People now are not about ready to have a real investigation. Now, who's going to do the investigation? The government?
Actually, from activist in the chat room, he said you'd know what this is about. He said, why has Ron Paul not done anything about the case Field McConnell handed you in person?
Well, I don't know what he'd expect me to do, you know, because I think, you know, taking on the Fed and the IRS and big government, all the spending for me to, I don't have the facility to investigate. I'm not part of the judicial system. I'm not part of the executive branch. I'm not part of the leadership, either in the Republican or the Democratic Party. So there's really, there's a limit to what an individual can do. My position is we don't know the truth of it, but having another investigation isn't going to come to the truth. They'll just do more for the cover up.
Okay. One more question from the chat room. Then I want to ask you about the economy. And again, this, these are just coming from chat participants. This is from Texas Roadkill. He's asking, he says, that, are you, he's stating that you're a Mason. Are you a Mason?
A what?
A Mason.
Mason? No.
Yeah. Hmm?
No, I'm not.
No, okay. Well, in that case, Texas wrote, he was asking whether or not you toe the line for your brothers in the Masons, which I didn't think you were a Mason, but...
I don't know why people do that. I mean, they spread false lies when they imply. I mean, I read this stuff on the Internet. It's absolutely false. So they're committing, a serious crime as far as I'm concerned because they're lying. So I don't know why people do that. I have no idea why they do it. And I don't know how that could be relevant to what I'm doing in Congress. So,
I personally agree, but I wanted to get the question out to you since you might have known something more than
Well, he should be, challenged by somebody else, not by me, but why do you spread these things if you have no proof of any of it? And why do they do it?
Okay, last question from chat. Can't the individual states repeal Obamacare?
Well, that's a good question. The word repeal isn't the right word. Should the states have the right to opt out? Can you just reject it? Can you nullify it? And I'm a strong believer in nullification, and we should practice it. And states are starting to, but states have been frustrated with the federal government for many, many years. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. So as soon as they try to opt out or refuse to participate, the government always has so much of our money. You know, let's say they don't want to put up with some regulations and tell us how fast we can drive our cars back in the 70s when they were doing that. They go, all right, no more money. Even though it was the state's money, they took it from us. They always could say, no more money, no more money. And this is less of a threat right now. So I think the understanding of nullification is much better. So I'm becoming more optimistic that many states are just going to nullify the whole thing. I think this is what's happened in California over the marijuana laws. They're just sort of, they're ignoring the whole thing. They said, we can't even enforce these laws. We don't have the money, so the feds just get lost.
However, the feds are still going into marijuana clubs and arresting people, even though the states are doing this, which, of course, raises the specter of a Supreme Court adjudication, whether it's Arizona's SB 1070 or Obamacare or the marijuana. Is the Supreme Court going to come in and say, well, we're not going to rubber stamp what the states are doing?
Yeah, and we can't expect a whole lot from the courts, and you're right. I mean, Obama was supposed to be doing better on these issues, but for a large number of people, I mean, literally millions of people are defying the laws in this regard, and the state's not going to do the prosecuting, and the Fed, even though they're going to go in and make examples, there's no way that they're going to be able to enforce those laws. People are just saying, get lost. We're tired of all this. And what I think is going to happen, though, with the drugs and hopefully other things, is that people will finally get around and demand some changes in the law. You know, there was a time when we had prohibition of alcohol, and the people said, it's stupid. It's ridiculous. It causes crime. And they wised up and repealed prohibition. But the tragedy here is this is, again, done by regulations and unconstitutional laws. Back when they did prohibition, at least they had respect for the Constitution. They knew they had to amend the Constitution. But today, I really think that people are waking up to this, and people are going to have to go on their own, because when the government fails, which they're in the process of doing, and they can't provide the medical care, and they can't provide, the armed police to come and arrest us for every violation, the people are just going to say, let's forget it. So they're going to ignore. I don't think they'll ever grant nullification in the legal sense, but in the practical sense, a lot of individuals and states are going to just say, look, you have our money, but it's coming back. It's not worth a thing, and we don't want all the regulations, so we're going on our own. And they're going to be forced to provide medical care or some system or legalize freedom of choice in medical care. That's the only thing that's going to work. The big thing is the heavy hand of the IRS is the thing that the Fed is going to hold on to as long as the heavy hand of the IRS and a monopoly power of the Federal Reserve to create money. Those are the two things that keeps big government going. But if the money goes and it's not functioning well, they've lost a lot of their power, then the next thing is what they'll do is they'll keep coming in. That's the last force that they'll use. They'll not worry. They might quit worrying about marijuana laws a long time before they give up on the IRS checking on every single penny you spend and what you're doing.
Well, let's tackle money there. Financial experts are anticipating the Federal Reserve is going to print more money to exacerbate the current economic depression in which we are mired. That seems to be the Fed's trademark answer. Print more money. This is going to make the U.S. dollar more worthless and prices will rise. Are you doing anything to at least stall this next assault on our currency by the Fed?
Well, everything possible. I mean, calling attention to the Fed is the first thing, and I would say in the last 3 years, we've had a grand awakening as far as what the Fed does, and we had 320 people co-sponsor the bill to open up the books to find out. If the people knew what the Fed was doing, especially on this bailout, I think they'd be so outraged they will demand to end it. So auditing the Fed, I'm drafting a bill right now. We will once again, I've done this in the past, really make the point that we ought to be able to audit our gold, find out if the government still has their gold there. So those are the kind of things that I work on. But the magnificent thing is that now so many American people now do not have the faith and confidence in the Federal Reserve as solving all our problems. It used to be the Fed gave us our prosperity, and if it was a downturn because of capitalism, they would come to the rescue. But no longer, because of the work we've done with the Fed, people are starting to say, the Fed created the bubble, they create the situation where the bubble bursts, they create the unemployment and the depression as well as the inflation. But we've made tremendous progress in educating a lot of people with the Federal Reserve. When the people are educated, the government will change.
Well, let me expand on that, because I'm not sure where Congress's power is, and you can probably answer that for me. I know Congress has a lot of power to regulate a variety of things. For example, you can decide the jurisdiction of courts and things of that sort. Can Congress pass some kind of a bill that would, for example, say there will be no more currency printed by the Fed until such and such time? Is there any way Congress can stop this? They call it quantitative easing to make it sound more acceptable.
In the words you use, the Fed would have no more spending, did you say?
Well, for example, let's say that you said, okay, the Fed cannot print any more money until some particular.
Oh yeah, happens. Congress has absolute authority for this, because although the Fed is very secret and a lot of private individuals benefit tremendously, and the Congress has no oversight, that's why the audit, even though we passed that in the House, it was turned down by the Senate. The Congress created the Federal Reserve. It's a law that the Congress passed. The Congress could get rid of the Fed next week. They could say, this is it, and 1 year the Fed's gone.
But could they restrict the Fed's behavior? Could they say, for example, you know that this quantitative easing is not going to do any good? Right. If there are other congressmen who know what you know, could you get together and stop them?
You could, but they're not likely to, because this was one of the main arguments that I really didn't win in the Congress, although I won the argument by the majority of the members of Congress to audit the bill, audit the Federal Reserve. It was very explicit that many of those who would sign on said, well, what we can't do is tinker with monetary policy. And they didn't want to do that. So we don't have the support for that. If we did, we could. We could say they can no longer monetize debt. Or you could say suspend monetizing debt for the next year or whatever. You could do that under the law. But too many of them still believe that Fed is the lender of last resorts. If you didn't have the Fed, you'd have bankruptcies. Everybody would be bankrupt. No money would be left in the banks. The banks would go bankrupt and all the corporations. And they see the Fed as a savior. There's too much of that attitude that still exists there. But the answer to your question is legally they could. But what I'm arguing is the sentiment isn't there. The sentiment has only progressed to the point that the Fed is responsible for a lot of our problems, and the Congress should know a lot more about the Fed, and we should have oversight, and that we should have an audit of the Fed.
And however, you also give an avenue that we, the people, can work. In other words, since Congress can do that, maybe we can put some pressure on Congress to make that more palatable to at least some members. We'll give it a shot.
That's right. That's how the audit came about. It wasn't me going around. I don't have any clout in Washington, you know, with other members.
We think you're king. We think you can do
it
all.
Well, no. I think the people are king. The government is a reflection of the people. I went to the people with Campaign for Liberty and reached millions of people, and they went to their congressmen. Everything is done by, you know, the grassroots. The government that we have is a reflection of the people. So I am actually what you do in trying to influence opinion, and that's what I continue to do, is try to change people's attitude and understanding of economics. And then when they demand it, then the politicians will change, because politicians aren't you know, they're not really they're just looking for a job.
Yeah,
and they want a job, but if the people say, look, yeah, that's odd as the Fed, just get rid of the Fed, just have found money, all those things will come when the people want it.
Fantastic. Our guest has been the Patriot Congressman, Dr. Ron Paul. I want you to imagine, folks, what our country would be like with Ron Paul as president. Ron, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you about that possibility the next time we speak. Thanks so much for all the work you're doing on behalf of the American people.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
Thank you for listening to this edition of The Voice of Freedom. Opinions expressed are those of the host and do not necessarily reflect the views of Truth and Freedom Radio Networks, Freedom Broadcast Group Incorporated, or our sponsors. For more information about your freedoms and liberties, or to contact Brent, just log on to our website at www.freedomradio.us or call 1-888-385-3733. Join us next time for another lesson in liberty on The Voice of Freedom.
America, land of the free, right to life and liberty. Open your eyes and you will see that America is free.